Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and of course I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Hope that you all have been having a productive day thus far. Mine's been sort of productive, could have been a little more productive, wasn't able to go outside and do some things because of the rain, but guess what? I was just praying to the ancestors and saying we need some rain because we have been going through a terrible drought here in North Carolina. You know, often I come on the airwaves and I talk about the different areas of the United States and sometimes the world where the environment and people are impacted negatively. And we know for a long time in California, always been in the news about the drought. But I tell you, the Catawba River, which runs in between Mecklenburg County and Gaston County in North Carolina, it's almost dried up. When you go over that overpass over the river, I-85 overpass, you will see boats stuck in the mud. That's how severe that drought was, but we did get just a little bit of rain last night, but it's not enough. For many people, and that river, a lot of people, that river, Lake Norman, a lot of people get their drinking water, parts of Charlotte, parts of Mount Holly, where I live, most people have well water, where they have dug wells and have underground sources of water, so they will probably be the last to be impacted. But I was just thinking today, if you live in North Carolina, you need to be saving water. You need to be storing water right now, okay? And I'm talking about more than just drinking water, all right? So this drought is not going to be helped by that little bit of rain. We appreciate the little bit of rain. It started last night, and it just ended about sometime yesterday, or I should say started early this morning, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I noticed. But we badly need rain, as I imagine lots of folks on the planet needs rain. So thought I'd mention that because we do have people who tune into Black Talk Radio News. We are based in North Carolina, and you just want to think about saving some water. In today's headlines, there's a number of things. Obviously, there's never a dull day behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. There's always something going on around the world. As to be expected, you should expect that Donald Trump and the people that he's appointing to his administration of USA Inc., which should take, I think, officially, or he'll be sworn in or sometime in January. And a lot of people are getting fatigued and saying they don't want to hear about it. They don't keep up with it. Okay. Ignore it at your own peril, but when some things start happening and you start reading about stories, or you come on and you hear me reporting about an increase in slave catching in non-white communities and the prison population exploding and private prison slavery in this country is more profitable than ever, you know, then that's because you're not paying attention. So these things are important. As the global elite, you know, there's always a tug of war between the global elite, they're like crime families, man, and they're like struggling for power. It's just like the mafia, what you see in The Godfather. That's what's really playing out. You got, you know, people who are in politics, but Trump might be appointing a possible global drug smuggler to the transportation secretary. And this story has just been disappeared over the last 2 years. I was trying to find more information, as I decided sometime last night I was going to talk about this particular story, make it the main topic. But I could not find any updates from main corporate media, as they call it, the mainstream media. And nothing about this investigation where this ship called the, what was it, the Ping Mei, I believe is the name of it. Yeah, it's the Ping Mei. This is a ship that is owned by the family of Elaine Cho, who is Trump's, some outlets are reporting he's already picked her. It still has to go through the Senate. And I'm definitely going to be sending an email, make a phone call or two to Senator Tom Tillis, the representative from this area for USA Inc., you know, on the board, the Senate board member. So I'm going to send him some about this woman and her family, and questions need to be asked about her family ties to the global drug trade. I'm not saying that they exist, but based off of news reports and based off of how the United States pours billions of dollars over the past 40, 50 years, trillions possibly, into combating the so-called drug war and then locking up tens of millions of people over the years. Who knows how many people, and somebody should do that research, how many people been locked up since Nixon announced his drug war, which he, his chief of staff later said Nixon specifically meant to target black people and those who protest against war, you know, the marijuana smoking hippies, even though he was an alcoholic and a pill popper. So how many people have been locked up since then? And so since they've taken a hardcore stance, since they have created people like the Philippines President Duterte, Duterte, killing people suspected of dealing drugs or using drugs, and not stopping at just those suspects, but also murdering their family members. Just, it's genocide. And all of this emanates here in the United States. This drug war mentality, this insanity that says we can execute people on the spot if we suspect them of using drugs. So I want to pull up some information related to that. The Nation in 2014, in an article written by Lee Fain, he wrote about the Cho family shipping business and talked about the, I think it was like, I'm not sure if it was 9 pounds or 9 tons. But they found this on this ship owned by the Cho family shipping company. Now, this shipping company they've owned goes back to Vietnam. And my dad and others have talked about, there's been films made about it, all of this drug smuggling out of Vietnam. That's where part of the Golden Triangle of drug smuggling in that region of the world. But these corporations smuggling drugs back, I think my dad mentioned, who was a grunt, 11 Bravo, volunteered to go to Vietnam because they wanted, so that his 18, 19 year old baby brother, who he didn't think would survive it, wouldn't have to go because he was the one that was drafted. I think it was General Tire Company or Goodyear Rubber Company. I mean, if you look all throughout, just say the past 20 years, 30 years, you can see where you have corporations involved in the drug trade. So it just is not blowing my mind. Let me, you know, try to use the right words, but it's not blowing my mind that CNN, that the Times, that none of these so-called legitimate media sources, since they want to talk about fake media, and the Washington Post want to put out a McCarthy-like blacklist of news sources, independent news sources. But these so-called, the real fake ones, like that's giving you fake news, they're not asking you questions. They're just reporting on her background, who she's married to. Oh, by the way, she's married to Senator, Senate leader, I believe, majority leader, Mitch McConnell. I'm sure she's married to Mitch McConnell. And this man, since he married her, this daughter of Taiwanese immigrants, his wealth has increased to 20-fold, or I forget the exact percentage, but this guy is now worth like $22 million. Most of it gifts from his father-in-law and from the shipping business. Now, look at this. Trump is appointing his wife, Elaine Cho, to be transportation secretary. Man. I mean, I hope y'all didn't think that that was the end of corruption and cronyism with Donald Trump. I mean, I know millions of people voted for Donald Trump for different reasons. Some of them were protest vote against the monster, otherwise known as Hillary Clinton and her crime family. But this guy is just going to be more of the same. But while he out there talking about law and order and locking up a whole bunch of people, this is just more of the same, where you have the global elite involved in drug dealing, drug smuggling, drug money laundering, and they never go to jail. Check the record. The Justice Department always ends up, when they busted Wachovia before it got bought up by Wells Fargo, busted them for laundering drug money, billions of it, right? What happened? Do you all even recall that story? I mean, it was in the news for a hot minute, maybe 2 days or something, but then everybody moved on. Nobody raised the big stink of these bankers at Wachovia laundering drug money, while millions of other people have gone to the prison plantation, put into modern day slavery for it. So all they did was pay a fine. No, the U.S. government did not seize all of it like they would you or I if I was selling medicinal cannabis in the state of North Carolina, where it's illegal. Man, they would seize the property. It'll be up for auction. You can believe that. That's not what happens to these people. No, these people get, and their family members get appointed to very important positions in the corporation known as USA Inc. That's what's going on here, man. So more of the same from Trump. And again, we do want to keep reminding people, Donald Trump is supposed to appear in a Manhattan courtroom in December, I think the second week of December, I'm not sure the exact date, where he is the defendant along with a convicted sexual predator and pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, a billionaire. I don't remember how he made his money, but a billionaire investor who, in this lawsuit with witnesses, it is alleged that Jeffrey Epstein, again, he's already been convicted, not for the crime against this young lady who's filed this civil lawsuit. But he hosts parties in New York for the rich and famous, the global elite, his billionaire buddies, and Trump attended one of these parties, and this young lady alleges that she was a victim of sexual trafficking as a 13 or 14 year old, and Jeffrey Epstein handed it over to Trump. and Trump raped her, beat her, and threatened.
Hey, bro, could you add that?
And threatened to kill everyone in there. Excuse me. We'll open up the phone lines when I announce it. Please don't come in and just unmute yourselves like that. I'll come to you, but are we having an issue with the audio? Area code 313, are you hearing everything okay?
Yeah, I can hear it. I just want to ask if you can add the chat for YouTube and comment.
I can't. Say that again.
Could you add chat in the YouTube so we could chat amongst the viewers, could chat amongst the, you know, the live broadcast YouTube? Add the chat.
Well, no, we have a chat room. It's at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network.
Oh, see, I'll be on my phone, and I can't do all that on my phone. You know, my phone is simple, but it will, like, let me do the chat on YouTube through the YouTube app.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me put it to you like this, bro. I'm the only one engineering this program, and that just one more thing I got to do. So we got, you know what I'm saying?
I get you.
Yeah, that's it. But I appreciate y'all tuning
in. I like to comment with the chatters. I didn't mean to break into your broadcast. I'm sorry. Keep going, man. I'm gonna hang up and just watch.
All right. Appreciate you calling in. You can chime in when we do open up the lines. Appreciate you.
If I got something important or I really want to make a statement or something, I'm gonna call in again.
Okay. Do that. Thank you. By the way, this is the first video stream that I'm doing on YouTube. The other programs, I'm the only engineer for Black Talk Radio's network right now. And so I'm engineering everything for everybody. So they won't be able to add video. I mean, there is a way for them to do that. But again, just one more thing to do. But we may, for the hosts in the future that want to add that, we will be bringing that. So, but a shout out to our YouTube listeners and viewers now of BTR Black Talk Radio. Also visit us at btrcommunity.com. We've set up our own social media platform trying to steer people off of Facebook. Our only purpose of being on Facebook is to push our brand of propaganda. We view ourselves as being in a war, a propaganda war, with not only corporate media, but all the anti-truth media. I'll just put it that way. All right. So, but let me move on. So again, I tried to pull up some information on this investigation. Again, this ship was busted in 2014 by the Colombia Navy, and that country is important, Colombia, not just because of the peace treaty that the I think they're called the FARC rebels, and the Colombian government is trying to end that civil war. And so, but outside of that, Colombia is important, especially in terms of the drug war, as you had Michelle Lionheart, who was forced to resign from the DEA after there was a number of scandals related to their agents. And one of those scandals was, I was talking about Trump and sexual trafficking of teenagers and what have you. And these DEA agents were busted. You can Google this and find it. Were busted after they were having a sex party, paid for by drug cartels of Colombia. So again, when Trump talk about building that wall, I also have reservations. I do see how they can build it. They can build it with all the people, the millions of people they're getting ready to throw in the modern day slavery and human trafficking, the quote unquote illegals, who most of them are here because of the economic destabilization of their countries by what? U.S. corporations, and now basically multinational, international corporations. People don't even think about, why are all these people coming here? If you look at their lands, I prefer, you know, the tropical regions. I spent 3 years living in Hawaii when I was in the military. I prefer the tropical and the beaches and all of that. Why you coming here? Well, that's because their regions have been destabilized by the U.S. drug war as well. Look at all that violence going on in Mexico. And who? And let's not forget who put the guns in the hands of these violent killers. the Bush administration and the Obama administration both got caught up in those scandals. So this ship called the Ping Mei, owned by the Chow family, who is supposed to be, if she gets confirmed in the Senate, your next transportation secretary. Man, do you understand how much drugs that her family will be able to smuggle globally? Do people ever think about how all of that heroin is getting from Afghanistan over here to rural America? I forget that governor named LePage, I think it was, that was saying that, you know, I forget the stereotypical names he used to talk about who was bringing dope into the white community in his nearly lily white state. I think he said Slinky and Stinky or somebody, and they was going to get your teenage daughter pregnant. He said, no, that's not who's bringing the dope in. You need to be concerned about who's shipping it in. It's either coming over here by airplane or by what? In a cargo hold of a ship. And I say these people are prime suspects, given their history of being one of the few companies that was allowed back during the Vietnam War. They had like some kind of some kind of license with the U.S. government to ship stuff back and forth. And like my dad said, and other people were saying, other veterans, and there have been movies made about it, these companies smuggling dope here to the United States, pumping them into our communities, getting people hooked on drugs, then throwing them into prison. Feed and keep making sure there's a constant supply of slave labor for the plantation. So that's how they gonna build that wall, though, when they lock up it. And I've heard black people say, well, why should we care about the Hispanics? Well, you think they just gonna give you a pass or something like that? Number one, you should be against slavery, period. Number two, if you think your black behind's getting a pass, well, I think you are living in a fantasy. I don't care if he does end up appointing Dr. What's his name? Ben Carson to be over HUD. What is it? The Housing and Urban Development. I mean, what is he going to do? And I thought that was kind of a racist thing the Trump administration did. They like, oh, we're going to put the black dude in charge of the ghetto projects and whatnot. So we're going to, hey, Ben Carson, didn't your mom come up, bring you up in public housing? So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put you over public housing. So what Ben Carson going to do, huh? What does he know about urban development? I thought he was a brain surgeon and was a medical doctor. So, I mean, it's just crazy. It's right there in your face, and people don't even seem to really grasp it or pay attention to it. So that's just a couple of stories that I want to talk about today. I got some other stories that I like to share with you as well. We'll also open up the phone lines. But here's just a couple of quick headlines. The accused Emmanuel AME Church shooter, the vicious, racist, white killer named Dylan Roof, is representing himself. He's facing capital murder charges. He's facing the death penalty. And it's a federal case. And I'm against the death penalty. I'm also against slavery, but people like him, they're not humans to me. They cannot, we can't baby people like that. And I'm against, again, the death penalty because of the racist application of it and how people have been innocent and put to death. I mean, how many hundreds of people have been let off of death row? So I'm against it. I would rather he be somewhere where he could suffer daily abuse. Again, this goes against my nature because I'm not a mean person. I'm not a vindictive person. But at the same time, you know, you had to send a message to people like this. Now, this is a story that I only also became aware of last night But the story's like 4 or 5 days old. I haven't even seen it in my Facebook or Twitter circle, and I have a pretty large circle in terms of people I subscribe to get news, and I did not see this. But again, I'm not really on those platforms like that, as I'm really just spitting content to those platforms and not really on them like that. But did y'all hear about this brother in Richmond, California? Now, we had a program on this morning, 11 a.m. every Tuesday. It's Change Matters Solutions, and the host lives in Los Angeles. One of the hosts lives in Los Angeles, the other one in Texas, but they both, I think, grew up in the Pasadena area. We had on the sister of a Pasadena councilman on. Check out the podcast. It's on the network, blacktalkradionetwork.com. But before I went on air to engineer her program, I asked her, did you hear of Will Sims? What's this about this black man being at a bar and then these three racists attack him and he winds up being found dead by the slave catchers, basically in the gutter? They found him in the street, dead of a gunshot wound. I have not seen this story at all in my circle. I haven't heard anybody else talking about it. And she did not even know. And she lives there. So I guess they've been suppressing that on the local news media, because she is the type of person, like my mom, who will at least tune in to the 6 o'clock local news every day. So I have found some other sources. The story is starting to get out there. I got this story from heavy.com. Will Sims, 5 fast facts you need to know. They have charged one person. They have captured one person, charging his mother. She should be charged just for raising a racist terrorist. But she's being charged for interfering in the investigation, trying to cover up for her son. She wasn't outraged at him murdering a black person or anything like that. She probably gave him a couple of slaps on the backs and was giving him ideas on how he could elude arrest. So it's actually 2 people, I think, who have been charged. But these, as far as I know, as far as last night, if somebody else has an update, please, by all means, call in, share it. Again, you can also share it in our chat at uberconference.com/BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. I will start opening up that YouTube chat in the future once I get this other piece of equipment that I could run that on separately. But anyway, if someone has an update, but 2 of these vicious racist terrorists who are murderers wanted in the shooting death of Will Sims are still on the loose. They're still on the loose, and I don't hear President-elect, the next CEO of USA Inc., Donald Trump, or Rudy Giuliani, or any of these so-called law and order racist crackers who be in power and be on TV. I don't hear them calling for the white community to turn these 2 vicious, racist, violent killers in. You know? Where is the white community at? Why are y'all harboring these terrorists? What's up with that? As I mentioned earlier, you know, there is this concerted effort. I'm going to say it's the Clinton crime family, because as I had reported beforehand, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are into censorship. They most certainly are. Because if she became president, she was going to pass a law that was very similar to some of the black codes back in the 1930s. I think is when I first identified these laws that said you can't boycott businesses. Like in the 1950s and 60s, you know, Martin Luther King was actually charged and arrested. And I think he might have been convicted. But it was against the law for anybody to promote boycotting like Woolworths or any of these corporations that support racism and white supremacy on an institutional and societal basis. So, like the Montgomery bus boycott, all of that kind of stuff. No more, Buy Black campaign that we got going on. Check out Buy Black 365.com. Check them out. All of that was illegal at one time. It might still be on the books in some of these colonies. I'm going to quit calling them the 50 states. They really need 50 colonies, and more on that on a different program. But these colonies, man, they still might have some of these laws on the book. But Hillary Clinton was wanting to pass a law. She gave a speech at AIPAC. We played portions of that speech where they could throw you in jail for criticizing Israel and its human rights violations. And they were claiming fake news back then of the reports of the devastation and the human loss of life that the Palestinian people were suffering. So you know, they have long been targeting independent media. Facebook has been a form of independent media. Let me say this about Facebook. Facebook is not a media company. It is not a media publisher in terms of news media. They don't publish any content. You do. The users post links from other websites, or they create their own videos and they upload them. Mark Zuckerberg ain't making no news videos. He ain't going on there giving his opinion on the election or nothing like that. He does not have a team of reporters regularly putting out podcasts and whatnot. He does not have Facebook TV with hired anchor persons and all of that. He is not a news producer. So the charge is even false. But Ron Paul rightly said that fake news comes from our own government, and these news corporations just repeat it. So y'all think it's a separation between church and state. People talk about that a lot, but there is no separation between business and state. And when you have a state where slavery is legal, then of course businessmen are going to be involved. So Ron Paul was firing back on that, talking about the fake news is coming from our government. Let's see. That's about it right there. I am overdue for a station identification break. When we come back, I will open up the phone lines, but I will be sharing some information for those who are able to view our YouTube channel. I'm going to show you the article. I was going to share the CNN article with you through the screen share, but they just play too many ads and stuff starts up automatically. But I'm going to take you back to 2014. In case people say, hey, Scotty Reed's up here spewing fake news. He doesn't even have no sources or anything like that. So I'm going to take you back to when the Ping Mei, the Cho family owned ship, was busted with cocaine, loaded down with cocaine. And what happened to the investigation? It's over 2 years ago. It has disappeared. CNN ain't produced an article on it. Nobody has. In fact, the only other article referencing it is a 2015 piece by the Free Thought Project, which reports a lot on the absurdity of the drug war and police violence and brutality. So I'm looking at, if you read, this is the CNN, Trump picks Elaine Chao for Transportation Secretary. If you read the article, they make no mention of her family, her father's company, one of the ships 2 years ago being busted by the Colombian Navy, loaded down with drugs. So, those are some of the things we could talk about on the other side as we open up the phone lines. Our telephone number, toll free in the United States and Canada, is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. You're in our home base here in North Carolina. If you're in the state of North Carolina, you can also reach us at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Again, we do have also a chat, and you can call in from anywhere in the world with a web phone. So that's at uberconference.com/blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll also find some of the international numbers. So we're going to take a break, and then I'll share some more about, see if we can find a clip or two on YouTube about Miss Cho, Elaine Cho, the wife again of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And you know he didn't say nothing about his father-in-law's ship being caught with tons of cocaine or however much the amount was. So we'll be back on the other side. This is Black Talk Radio News, providing you with new black media for the new millennium.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Visit us online. We got a couple of platforms, blacktalkmediaproject.org. That is our home base for our nonprofit, again, based here in North Carolina. But you can also find our podcasting and live radio streaming platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And don't forget, I can't forget, got to keep mentioning, BTRcommunity.com. It is a social media platform, another safe digital space that the Black Talk Media Project has created for black people online. So check that out, BTRcommunity.com. Works like Facebook, except for we're not all up in your emails or your messages. We're not asking you who your friends are and your associates and what gang you belong to. We're not even asking you. You don't even have to use your real name except for to, you know, get your subscription. But other than that, yeah, we are not trying to do to you what these corporations are doing to you, while at the same time trying to provide you with these tools. And social networking is a great tool for a myriad of reasons. So I found this clip. Now, Elaine Cho also was a Republican activist. She goes back as far as the Reagan administration. She at one time was in the Reagan administration. And then later, again, these are usually revolving doors when we're talking about the global elite. And that does include the people in politics. I mean, these people are often millionaires or become, you know, multimillionaires. Again, they say Mitch McConnell now is worth about $20 million more than when he first became a senator, and since he married Miss Cho. So I tell you, let me just say this right quick. I heard a rumor about Republicans in Congress bringing back a part of their contract with America. Now, before you say, oh, Lord, here we go again, they're talking about, this rumor I heard is they're talking about term limits. And everyone should be in favor of that, because all we have is a revolving door, USA Inc., the corporation, just a revolving door of criminals, people enriching themselves at our expenses, engaging in global crime without having to do the time. See, that's just for us. So she was later appointed to the Bush administration, that same Bush crime syndicate that was telling y'all to vote for Hillary Clinton. See, I mean, all of these people are criminals, for God's sake. You don't invite people to your wedding. I mean, weren't the Clintons guests of honor at Donald Trump's wedding to his wife now, his current wife? I think this is his second wife. These people are friends. And they have friends in the media to keep these sort of questions from developing in your mind. They're not asking these questions about this woman's background in terms of her family. I'm reading all kind of stuff about possible ties to the government of China. I don't have anything personally against the government of China, but I hear the Chinese are, I hear from racist suspects in the U.S. propaganda media that China violates all these human rights and things of that nature. And lo and behold, here we got Senator Mitch McConnell a couple of years ago saying, well, they're not really all that bad. And we really don't want to press him on this and that, so that his father-in-law, you know, could profit from it. So people talk about the Clintons' Chinese connection. They don't talk about, they look, do you think if there's anything going on like that, the Chinese only going to go after Democrats? Come on, give me a break. Only going to bribe them. So let's go to, I'm going to pull this up so the people that's watching on YouTube could see it. Take you to thenation.com. I would vouch for this as being a credible news source. It's not fake media like Washington Post or CNN or MSNBC or any of the alphabet boys in the media broadcasting world. So what we got here, this is an article that was written by Lee Fang on October the 30th, 2014. So it's been just, 2 years and a month since this article was published. Mitch McConnell's freighted ties to a shadowy shipping company. After drugs were found aboard the Ping Mei, a vessel owned by his wife's family's company, Colombian authorities are investigating. I'll bet you they ain't investigating no more. I bet you this was quietly dealt with behind the scenes. I bet you, when was this? 2014, Hillary Clinton was gone. Who was secretary? I bet you it was John Kerry smoothed it over. And they probably just got off with paying a fine or something like that. Just like those DEA agents weren't charged with engaging in prostitution or sexual human trafficking when they had that sex party paid for by Colombian drug lords and what have you. So this is their family. You can see Mitch McConnell's father-in-law, James Chow, at the christening of the Ping Mei in Shanghai. Where is Shanghai? Before the Ping Mei, a rusty cargo vessel could disembark from the port of Santa Marta en route to the Netherlands in late August, Colombian inspectors boarded the boat and made a discovery. Hidden in the ship's chain locker, it misses load of coal bound for Europe, were approximately 40 kilograms or about 90 pounds of cocaine. A Colombian Coast Guard official told The Nation there is an ongoing investigation. The seizure of the narcotics shipment in the Caribbean port occurred far away from Kentucky, the state in which Senator Mitch McConnell is now facing a career-defining election. But the Republican Senate minority leader, he's a majority leader now, has the closest of ties to the owner of the Ping Mei, the vessel containing the illicit materials. The foremost maritime corporation, a firm founded and owned by McConnell's in-laws, the Cho family. Though Foremost has played a pivotal role in McConnell's life, bestowing the senator with most of his personal wealth and generating thousands in donations to his campaign committees, the drug bust went unnoticed in Kentucky, where every bit of McConnell-related news has generated fodder for the campaign trail. That's because, like many international shipping companies, Cho's firm is shrouded from public view, concealing its identity and limiting its legal liability through an array of tax shelters and foreign registrations. So, I mean, these have been issues that have come up, like when President Obama was running to become CEO of USA Inc. against what was his name? They're trying to get him to become the Secretary of State, Mitt Romney, and all his tax shelters and saying he owned this and that and hiding accounts. And see, this is the type of stuff that they do. This is the type they the stuff they do. They even use Africa in their drug smuggling. And guess what? I've said it many times. The U.S. drug war is global. They have DEA agents all in Africa too. But they ain't going after the people who are actually behind all the smuggling of the drugs. And again, I'm not an anti-drug person. I think if you're a grown adult, you can decide what you want to put in or not put into your body. I don't think there should be any laws against how much soda you can consume or how many Big Macs you can eat in one sitting. Freedom. You free to have a heart attack all you want to. I don't think you should be put into slavery. I feel the same way about cannabis or any other drug. But I'm just pointing out, though, the two justice, well, we don't, it's silly to even say we have two justice systems, because we don't have a system of justice. We have a system of injustice that operates on race-based codes. So where's the outrage from? Because usually on the right, that is where you find most of your anti-drug, pro-drug war warriors, as they like to think of themselves. Where aren't they outraged? Well, why aren't they asking these questions? Is it really smart to put Elaine Cho in as transportation secretary, given her family's ties to possible global drug smuggling all over the planet? I wonder if a senator or two will ask that during her confirmation. I know I'm going to ask Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina to ask these questions. Who knows if he'll ask them or not. I did send him an email asking him about the DEA trying to put this plant that's grown in Indochina somewhere, Indonesia, that's helping people with their addiction to all of that heroin that somebody's bringing from Afghanistan. I know y'all got United States military troops over there guarding the poppy fields, but how is the end product, the heroin, how is that getting to the United States and flooding the rural areas like where I live in? So I asked Tom Tillis, you know, people are using this plant. This is a plant that grows naturally, drinking it in tea, however they're mixing it up, and it's helping them with their withdrawal symptoms. And a lot of people are ordering, and there's the business trade aspect of it too. They're ordering this plant from that country where it grows naturally, so that they can wean themselves off of these pharmaceutical drugs and heroin. The DEA just going to, in a draconian move, going to throw this plant on the scheduled drug list. Say nobody can have it, and if you're caught in possession of it, we're going to put you into slavery. So Tom Tillis did send them a letter saying that that was a draconian. I don't know if he told them that, but he told me in his letter to me talking about, yeah, that was a draconian move. Of course, I'm paraphrasing him. So him and another, I guess, member of Congress sent letters, and the DEA had to reverse course. So why am I bringing this up, man, is that we got, again, millions of people, lives are being ruined, put into modern-day slavery and human trafficking. We got a CEO-elect coming in who thinks private prisons are great, says he's going to put about 2 to 3 million, quote-unquote, undocumented immigrants into prison. You know he's a law and order guy. They're going to be pushing the drug war. Look at the people he's talking about putting in at the U.S. Department of Injustice. So, you know, these things are important for people to acknowledge, that these people are involved in all kind of criminality, and the very laws that they expect you to obey, they do not, and they cover up for their criminal friends. So people just really need to be paying attention and asking questions. And it's just shameful that I've read all these mainstream articles talking about this woman's appointment. And we can listen to this video I came up with. Family, you know, having this issue. And again, where is the follow-up? What happened to the investigation? I guess we should ask the State Department. I don't know. But what happened to the investigation? Now this woman's going to be possibly labor secretary, transportation secretary. Oh, man, they can move. Her family really be able to move some drugs then, allegedly. So let me pull up this video. This is, they're talking about her American, let me see. She was the one-time Secretary of Labor. So we can also implicate her and say that she also supports 21st century slavery and human trafficking, because labor in the United States is supposed to be regulated by federal rules and what have you. That's why you have a Secretary of Labor. But we also know the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution did not abolish slavery, as many of these lie tellers have put in their movies and on television and in their history books. The exception clause for punishment as crime means that you did not abolish slavery. So the United States government, the corporation, owns another corporation called Unicor. Where the profits go, I don't know. I can't recall at this time. But yes, the U.S. government owns a federal private prison where they sell services and products that the prisoners make, and do, you know, customer service calls and things of that nature. So I didn't hear Secretary of Labor Elaine Cho, while she was part of the Bush administration, talking about we need to abolish slavery and stop exploiting all these people in prison who shouldn't even be in prison. And this is also undermining the civilian labor pool and depressing their wages as well. No. Let me see. Here is a video of her talking smack about the quote-unquote left wing back in 2013. It's a YouTube clip.
Back last month, a liberal super PAC in Kentucky attacked the ethnicity of our former labor secretary, who's also the wife of Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, Elaine Chao. Despite the fact that Ms. Chao was born in Taiwan, the group Kentucky Progress tweeted, quote, "This woman has the ear of McConnell press. She's his hashtag wife. May explain why your job moved to hashtag China. Elaine Chao and the senator are fighting back."
far-left special interests are also attacking my ethnicity, even attacking Mitch's patriotism because he's married to me. That's how low some people will stoop. Mitch works his heart out to protect Kentucky from Washington's bad ideas because Mitch loves Kentucky. We love Kentucky. The meanest personal attacks can never change that.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Listen how y'all being played. Now, that's from Fox News, and I don't like sharing too much of Fox stuff. But now, they're saying that this quote-unquote liberal group is attacking her ethnicity. She is from Taiwan. Her parents are from Taiwan. I thought those were two separate countries. And by the way, Chinese is not an ethnicity. It's a nationality. You know, just like if people call you American because you have citizenship in the United States of America until it became a corporation. I really don't want to get into explaining all of that. But so a citizen of China would be known as what? A Chinese. So again, these are people who allegedly went to college and supposed to know the English a lot better than my country behind. So, I mean, that's not an ethnicity. So somebody talking about this woman has lobbyist ties to China, which has been documented, and I did look them up. I just don't take people's word for stuff. I will look it up. And she does have some ties to China. She does not seem to have a problem with any kind of dispute between China and Taiwan. She seems to travel back and forth. Her family does tremendous business with the Chinese communist government. So, you know, we are always shown in the media like they're supposed to be oppressing the Taiwanese people. See, you see that's a nationality, not an ethnicity. I mean, Chinese people, y'all really should be insulted at these racist crackers in the media. And then she's playing along with it as a proxy racist too. But how is talking about a woman who family and is a lobbyist, has had ties to China business industry, and saying that, hey, if you want your jobs to move to China, then hey, Mitch McConnell's your guy? I mean, this is documented stuff. But here's Fox News playing the when have you ever heard Fox News defending anybody for their ethnicity or racial classification being attacked? Do y'all see how they play the masses? Well, Malcolm said is absolutely right. Media controls the minds of the masses. There, and so tell me again who's putting out the fake news. So here's Fox News getting people to feed into that gang mentality. Oh, the liberals versus the conservatives, Republicans versus the Democrats. I don't want to be in none of y'all gang, because that's all y'all are a bunch of gangsters doing gangster things. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be caught up in that. But they get a lot of people caught up in that. And you'll see people wasting most of their lives online arguing with the people in the other gang. I mean, we witness online gang wars every day. And don't think that politics is not as violent as when we talk about organized crime in the streets. But again, these people are the biggest criminals on the planet, making a lot of money. So I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some message music, and open up the phone lines. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show will be on air. So I'll probably be getting off air at about a quarter till the top of the hour so I can change everything over. For that program, make sure you check out Brother Dave again and the Tando Radio family, part of the Black Talk Radio Network family. So then we'll open up the phone lines. If y'all have any questions or comments, any observation, anything you would like to share, if you dispute the information that I'm sharing with you, if you have a different perspective, by all means, don't hesitate to share it. 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, write it down. When we come back from the message music, I'll announce that the lines are open and give you instructions on to get you unmuted if you have a question or comment. If not, I'm going to leave this Trump thing alone or this Elaine Cho thing alone. I'll probably be coming back to it later, but I'm definitely going to send an email, make a phone call to Senator Tom Tillis and say, why are we, you know, I need you to find out where this investigation stands concerning this woman's shipping business, her family business, and them smuggling dope, getting caught. Where does that, and what was the results of that investigation? What happened there? So those are the questions I want to see this woman asked in her Senate confirmation hearing, and also about if she supports modern day slavery and human trafficking. Point out the 13th. Now I know Tom Tillis probably is not going to ask her about the 13th Amendment, so I might be asking a little bit too much, dear, but who knows. But those are the questions I want to ask of this woman. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast BTR News every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday nights, I'm also on air again with New Abolitionist Radio. We do have a special guest, a person from Colorado, as the 13th Amendment was on the ballot there. They have a 13th Amendment like exception clause for slavery as punishment for crime in the Constitution of Colorado, and there was an attempt to get that exception clause removed, like needs to be removed from the U.S. Constitution, and it just barely failed. So he's going to join us as an abolitionist and give us his thoughts on that narrow defeat and any plans in the future to get that back on the ballot to make slavery actually illegal in the state of Colorado. So you're listening to, make sure y'all check that out Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. Since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. Slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happening. happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro. Not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
The United States should welcome the self-determination of Africans. They certainly have denied self-determination to Africans inside the United States, so we're not surprised by anything that the United States would do.
If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency or maybe launch a gold dinar currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret, because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested.
Something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
And our resolve is clear. The people of Libya must be protected.
Others say it's about oil.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has...
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I do want to open up the phone lines for those who may already be on the board. If you have a question or a comment, even as I go through some of these other news stories that we want to share with you in this last 30, 45 minutes, just hit **. Again, our telephone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit **, that'll light up your profile and I'll be able to identify you and bring you on into the conversation. Again, visit us at our home, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Tell other people about us as we continue to try to provide people with news that they can trust. Now, I can't speak for everyone that you may hear on the platform, as we do have other independent stations that's apart from Black Talk Radio Network, but I can speak for this particular station, and we do our best to research what we're talking about day in and day out. The amount of work that Johannin and Max Parthas put in for New Abolitionist Radio every night, and they're just doing a 2-hour program all week. They are pulling up stories and posting stories and talking about stories and trying to see which one is we're going to talk about during the program. So a lot of research goes on this network. We just don't come on here and just shoot you a bunch of bull crap and then call it sugar. No, we don't do that. So, but there is an attack on independent media, and I'm gonna have to do a program about that, where that's the main topic. There is an attack on independent media. Take the threat very, very serious, cause the people, the global elite, they don't want you to have the right information. They only want you to have the propaganda that they have commissioned to be disseminated to you, to keep everybody in this gang mentality unaware of slavery happening and human trafficking happening, and then coming up with these stereotypical figures of people doing crime and this and that, while the most of the crime is going on at the top of the food chain. So these are criminals, man. Shouldn't matter if we got Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. We were going to get a person with racism in their background, practicing racism, and a person who has engaged in crime. And again, I want to keep stressing, I hope nothing happens to that young lady who filed that civil lawsuit that is due in court to be heard. That trial is due to start in a couple of weeks, where she's accusing Donald Trump of raping, beating, and threatening to kill her entire family and everyone she knows if she told anybody, at a party, a Manhattan party, in a penthouse owned by Jeffrey Epstein, the man who was holding her in human trafficking. As she was 14 years old, she says, at the time of the attack, and more witnesses have come forward. So I'm like, wow. How are you countries that are out there, how y'all gonna deal with Donald Trump? Let's say that he settles this lawsuit. He settles this lawsuit. He pays this girl off. I shouldn't say pay her off, because it make it sound like she did something wrong. But he settles this lawsuit, and she accepts the amount because she doesn't really want to relive this nightmare any more than she really is. Or it goes to a jury trial, and this jury awards, finds in her favor, and finds Donald Trump civilly liable for her rape as a 14-year-old. How y'all gonna deal with that? How y'all gonna deal with that, man? World leaders, you gonna welcome this pedophile into your palace or your home or whatnot? You gonna be shaking his hand and act like didn't none of this happen? Pretty much like the mainstream acts, like, oh, there's nothing happening there. This is unprecedented. I don't want to say unprecedented, meaning that it's the first time you had a pedophile who's going to be president. I mean, we can go back to Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Those two for sure. So it's not unprecedented in that sense, but it's unprecedented in recent modern times, since, let's just go with the 1950s, with the advent of mass media through television. Already had radio, but they just added to the way that they disseminated information. This is unprecedented, man. Not only a person who spewed racist ideology and propaganda to attract votes from people like the racist crackers surrounding me in this rural area in North Carolina I haven't seen one of them Confederate battle flags on somebody's truck in a minute. It's been a hot minute. But riling them up and got them out there killing people. I put this on Trump and the media. So I want to, since we don't have any callers, let's move to this story about some of this Trump-inspired violence, this white supremacist terrorism that is hitting the land. News links. What am I looking at? Will Sims, 5 Facts You Need to Know. This is from Heavy.com. Will Sims was murdered by white supremacists near Richmond, California. 2 of them are still on the run and are armed. So again, I don't see President Obama taking to the airways to warn people. I don't see the governor of California, Jerry Brown. I don't see him interrupting your regularly scheduled broadcast to tell you about these two vicious white terrorists on the loose who are armed and dangerous. They've already killed one American. These are some of the 5 facts as reported by Heavy.com. Authorities say a talented Bay Area pianist and musician was murdered because he was black and was left to die in a roadway. Daniel Porter Kelly, 31, is accused of murder, robbery, and they robbed him. And they robbed him. Man. And a hate crime in the slaying of Will Sims, who was 28, and described by those who knew him as a gentle person with a gift for music. As of November 23, police were seeking two other men in connection with the beating and shooting of Sims on November the 12th. I mean, they've been really keeping this on the down low. Because I got all kind of alerts out, Google alerts for, you know, get emails of this coming up or that coming up. And this one got by me somehow. They identified Porter Kelly's alleged accomplices as Ray Simmons and Daniel Ortega. Now, I had this racist suspect on YouTube come at me talking about, it was on Twitter, where I had tweeted, it was some white dude with a Hispanic name, a Spanish name, and he killed a cop. And I had said, well, where are all of these people we usually see when a cop gets killed by a black person that say, hey, we need this scum to be eradicated, like old the sheriff David Clark has said. So I was like, and then this person talking about, oh, he's not white, y'all practicing deception. I'm like, oh, please give me a break. I know a white person when I see a white person. It doesn't matter that they have a Spanish surname or whatever. That don't matter. What does that matter? I got an Irish surname. I'm not Irish. Okay? So Daniel Ortega is white. Ray Simmons is white. They identify as white supremacists in the system of racism that created these classifications. So these men are armed and dangerous and on the loose. Police say Sims was jumped and robbed at a pool hall. Now, when I read this last night, I was saying to myself, what did I say? Sometimes I forget, but what do I usually say at the conclusion of my program? To be about being safe behind these enemy lines, about keeping your head on the swivel, about battlefield awareness, situational awareness, and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'll be 50, turning 50, actually tomorrow. I'll be turning 50 tomorrow. I don't club, even though there's people older than me all up in the club or the juke joints and the you know, the bars and what have you, the sports bars and hanging out. I don't do that. I don't like being around crowds of people. Because when you tend to get a crowd of people and alcohol involved, deadly confrontations usually ensue. So I quit going. The last time I was at a bar, it was on the 4th of July, maybe 15, 20 years ago. They were shooting bottle rockets, and this guy at the bar, I'm talking about adults now, I ain't talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults, were in the parking lot, and this one dude tried to shoot me in the face with a bottle rocket. I was not shooting bottle rockets at nobody. I was just trying to get to my car and get, you know, whatever. This guy purposely tried to shoot me in the face with a bottle rocket because the Lord blessed me with tremendous reflexes. I was able to dodge. Now, I could have escalated that situation and pulled out my firearm and threatened to kill him or actually shoot him, but I was like, no. I don't know how many of these people out here is with this person, so it could turn out into a shootout at the OK Corral type deal, and I don't want to be caught up in nothing like that. I got too much to live for, so I got in my vehicle, and I left, and I haven't been back to a bar, club, or nothing like that. So it appears this guy was in there playing pool. These racist white supremacists came in there. They're patrons of this place, obviously. This is why I tell black people, it's bad enough when we are among ourselves and alcohol is involved. You're going to go around racist suspects with alcohol involved. and put yourself in danger like that. And then it, with the election of this white supremacist and they kind of super hyperactive and what have you and living out their fantasies, and they're acting upon them. So I'm not blaming Mr. Will Sims for his murder. I'm just saying, don't be a victim. Don't be a victim. Take all the precautions you need to take. These are battlefield conditions. We do not live during peacetime, and stop acting like it's peacetime. Number two, Sims was a musician and accomplished pianist. It goes on to talk about that. Sims was remembered as a gentle soul with a great singing voice. Again, these people, this man I'm looking at named Daniel Ortega, he is not Hispanic. This is a vicious, racist, white supremacist, probably belongs to some kind of clandestine organization or something. I don't know, but he's white. Mexican is not an ethnicity. A man who employed the suspects and who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat told the San Francisco Chronicle the men were hard workers and said he was surprised by the accusations. I was shocked, I tell you. You now, y'all know that's total BS, right? Y'all know that's total BS. They got pictures of him on Facebook playing the piano and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, these people are still, the two of them are still on the loose. They look pretty dangerous from their mug shots, so that means they've been in trouble before, been arrested before. And these white thug killers are on the loose, and we need the white community to turn them in. We need y'all to call 911. We don't need you to be harboring these terrorists, hiding them in your basement, or none of that. No, you need to turn them in. And if you live in California or any other surrounding states, you and you're a non-white person, it's best you arm yourself and be on the lookout for these armed and dangerous terrorists. I would say most definitely if I seen them coming, I would be forced to stand my ground. No questions. No, I'm not going to ask no questions. I see your mug shots. You're on the run. They got your mama. You did it. So, yeah. Take this slug. Because I'm fearing for my life right now. So, man, that's a terrible story, man. But it's been happening a whole lot. Now, when I was on CNN, I was going to try to share that with the YouTube listeners, but they was playing too many ads or whatnot, and I couldn't share it through the software I'm using. But they are now saying that law enforcement is saying that the Somali naturalized legal citizen at the University of, what is it? What's the name of that school? Ohio State University. Who ran into a crowd of people with his car, ran them over, and then jumped out his car with a butcher knife and started stabbing them. Now they're trying to say that he was radicalized by ISIS propaganda. BS. How you gonna put that on ISIS? Now, when they first talked about it, they said that his social media, the first reports I saw, they had already went over his social media accounts. And they said that he had talked about the hate crimes against Muslims here in the United States. All of that kind of stuff that we've been seeing ever since Donald Trump decided to run a Southern strategy, which works for the entire United States, obviously. And so he's seeing these attacks. That's what I got from what his possible motive. But now here's law enforcement. Oh, it's ISIS related. Don't y'all believe that BS? Don't y'all believe that? Perhaps he's read the story about Will Sims being shot down like a dog in the street by these racist white terrorists. he decided that he was going to do some similar action, and I don't know who all he stabbed. Did he stab some black people or some only targeted white people? I don't know. But there are many things that could be his motive. I'm not buying the whole ISIS thing. It's mighty funny how y'all come up with these connections after the fact. But again, the CIA is ISIS. Don't y'all believe otherwise. Let me see, what other story do we have to share? The accused, Emmanuel AME church shooter. Well, he ain't accused. He did it. Don't act like y'all concerned about journalists' integrity and all the fake news y'all put out. But this is Live5News.com. They said that Dylan Roof is representing himself in his death penalty trial, and seven jurors have been picked so far. This came out, this was published yesterday. We might have some audio here for you. See, might load up an ad. And my only concern is that he's going to have cause for all these appeals. He'll spend decades on death row. And again, I am not for the death sentence. I'd rather this racist, vicious terrorist spend life behind bars with people who look like his victims. So, that doesn't look like it's going to play. Okay, a federal judge granted a motion to allow the accused Emmanuel AME church shooter to represent himself in trial, although he told the suspect it was unwise. Look, this guy is more than just a doggone shooter. Let's just use the accurate words. Let's use the same words y'all use to describe the university student up there at Ohio State that ran over the crowd, or any other non-white person who commits an act like that. Y'all call them what? Suspected terrorists. You call them terrorists, mad men. You call them all kind of, you come up with all kind of names. Wearing a gray and blue striped prison outfit Monday morning, this was yesterday, 22-year-old Dylan Roof told Judge Richard Gergel he understood his attorneys have skills and experience he may not have, but he wanted to self-represent as his attorney serve as standby counsel. While the government and the court have an interest in having counsel remain to ensure the integrity and efficiency of the trial, that interest cannot trump the defendant's constitutional right, a court document filed Monday reads. The judge asked if he wanted his now standby counsel to sit next to him or behind him, and Roof answered, beside me. He then asked if Roof was able to start jury selection today, to which Roof responded, yes, I'm ready. Not allowing Roof to represent himself would go against the logic of the Sixth Amendment, as I've heard Max Parthas often say, is dead in USA Inc. Sixth Amendment? What Sixth Amendment? Oh, Dylan Roof's white. I forgot. Okay. Don't want to violate his constitutional rights and what have you. So my concern is that, look, this is what I think is going to happen. This isn't a concern, but this right here is what I think we're going to see happen. He's going to do exactly like the guy in Norway. I think that was Norway. I can't recall his name, where the guy went to target quote unquote liberals again with the gang mentality. And they were like on this island, and it was a retreat for children. It was like sort of like a political youth group or something like that. And he murdered, I think it was over 100. He was just gunning them down. And he represented himself, and he pretty much turned it into, you know, just a circus, a way for him to get it put out his white supremacist ideology and wallow in his own vainglory, his self-importance and whatnot, want to be remembered as a white supremacist warrior. That's what I think Dylan Roof is going to do here. I think he's going to use this trial to further promote white supremacist ideology. He seems to strongly be an adherent to that religion, and he looks like, I mean, not looks like. I think that when you commit a mass murder like that, to sacrifice people to the altar of white supremacy, you're pretty much committed, man. You're pretty much gone. You're like, yeah, you're you're just beyond saving, in my opinion. Okay, so that man is going to say it's going to be interesting, but I don't want to use that word because it makes it seem like this is an entertainment, and it is entertainment for a whole lot of people. That's why they have these court TV programs and whatnot. So of course we'll be providing you with some reports on what's going on. But again, my mind keeps drifting back to these two terrorists that's on the loose, and the people are not being adequately warned about these terrorists on the loose. Where is the Loretta Lynch at? Where is, what's his name, Robert Mueller at the FBI? Where's the Homeland Security Director? I should be seeing interruptions to the regular scheduled programming of this breaking news that we got these two terrorists running on the loose. Now, if this was two Arabs or two black people, two Africans who were Muslims, and they hadn't caught these people, you better believe this would be blasting out all over the propaganda channels 24/7. It is no way that these people's face would not be on everybody's television set. You would know these men upon sight. And again, they're armed and dangerous, so if you come across them, especially if you're black, they probably gonna try to kill you before they get caught. So it's best that you arm yourself so you can defend yourself and your family. I will put these dogs down on sight. But where is Homeland Security? I don't feel very secure right now, Homeland Security Chief. And Mr. Obama, come on now. You can pop up on wide screens in football stadiums doing a football game on 9/11. This is an emergency right now. We have terrorists on the loose, and I'm just not confident in your leadership in apprehending these dangerous individuals. Listening to Black Talk Radio News, we're going to take another message music break. Then we'll come back, get ready to wrap it up. I may have one or two more stories to share. Again, want to just tell you about BTR Community, a platform which we hope will provide a new online social experience for black people, as there are very few safe spaces online and otherwise for black people. So we try to carve out these little platforms. Not that we're trying to separate ourselves from anyone, but hey, we're trying to work together. We're trying to stimulate unity and cooperation so we can solve our own problems. All right. And so one of the problems, we got Facebook or Facebook working with law enforcement to track activists, Twitter too, to track activists and their movements. And so this is the answer to that. So we hope that you will not expose yourself to those dangers. Again, if you are engaged in a propaganda war on Facebook, stay there. Keep waging war. We need people on there to get our people off of there. That's how that works. And we always got to be countering their racist propaganda. So I understand. But be careful. Be careful. All right. So take a station identification break. Kick some message music. Kick that untapped potential. Honorable Louis Farrakhan talking about prisons in this company, in this country. We'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned. Great.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Don't you step for crazy?
are being privatized, and they are on the stock exchange, and you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have... Oh, boy.
But now they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. But they're offering you rap deals. Atlantic Records. These are the real savings. They have to be exposed, brothers. You rap, and in your rap, there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
I look around this room, and I see nothing. Potential. You have potential. You have...
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see if you ain't keeping it real. And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change. Expensive cars. But your brothers and sisters are dying on your words.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Otis, you crazy mother.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed again in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time will be Tando Radio Show. And remember, Tando means love, so show your love and make sure you stay tuned in right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. You can also find our digital radio station on the TuneIn app. I know TuneIn comes pre-installed in some of these vehicles now that's coming out that's connected to the internet. Also, on the smartphones, pre-installed on a lot of these phones. So we're on TuneIn. You could just Google, you could Google TuneIn or put in Black Talk Radio Network, also on the Streamer app. So different ways you can connect to the program, but always our radio home, broadcast home is Black Talk Radio Network. com, and the platform will adapt to your website. Again, following up yesterday's program, I do want again keep sending my condolences out to the Cuban people. I want to thank the Cuban people and the Castro family for everything that Castro has done in his lifetime to counter racism, to counter these corporations in Africa, to just really be about true brotherhood and true self-determination and freedom. Again, don't believe these white supremacist corporate media lies about a man being a dictator and oppressing people. Just think logically, okay? Who's more oppressed, the people of the United States or Cuba? Well, who has the world's largest prison slave labor population? Who has the world's the largest prison slave labor strike in history that the corporate media has been ignoring? I can't even tell you if the brothers and sisters are still in the third week of work strikes. So, man, let me pull up some information from our Facebook page, Political Prisoner Radio. I'm trying to find out some information, and I'm also share some stuff about Fidel Castro there, 50 truths about Fidel Castro. Let me see. Yeah, 5 ways Fidel Castro in Cuba inspired U.S. black radicals. I'm actually looking for an event that's going to take place at the Activist Studios. It's going to be at the Schomburg Center for Black Culture, that's in New York City, and it's going to happen on the 6th, December the 6th. I'll try to have those details. I'm not finding it right now. There is also a petition there to free Imam Jamil Alameen, also known as H-Rap Brown. He was framed for the murder of a slave catcher. He did not even fit the description. I've done numerous research into this case, had people with intimate knowledge of the case on over the years, and this was a setup. H-Rap Brown is 6'5". The person they was looking for was 5'11". So they was like, oh, let's just go ahead. We can't find this guy. Let's frame him. So there is a petition to President Obama to issue a medical parole for Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly known as H-Rap Brown, one of the 60s and 70s era freedom fighters. Not to say he ever stopped fighting, but that was when he was most known internationally. Let me see if this event has passed. I believe this event has passed. Yeah, that's passed, so I'm not going to share that one. There's also another political prisoner event. Let me tell you, I should go to btrcommunity.com and go into the group for political prisoners and prisoners of war. I believe that is where I posted the latest medical emergency call to action. We have so many political prisoners in the United States that a lot of people are not even aware of. These people fought against racism, white supremacy, imperialism, all the problems we're facing today, this generation facing today. They fought against it, and they are political prisoners as a result of those actions. See, there is that medical campaign for Robert Self Hayes. He has uncontrolled diabetes, and he's had it for over 15 years, and his sugar is just it could kill him, man. It could put him into a diabetic coma. And as we did the interview last week, talking about briefly about Mamiya's condition and him having hepatitis C, and now they're even selling to the public a cure for hepatitis C. But all of these people that are in prison where there's an epidemic, and then they get out and it spreads to the community or to their family, and you have this cure and you're denying it. They do this to political prisoners specifically, but the rest, everybody else, they don't care, because they know they got a revolving door of corporate slaves to be hired out all day long. That's happening, that revolving door, because we do not live in a land of liberty and freedom. We live in one of the most draconian states ever known to man. And that's just objective, me talking as an objective reporter studying history. So always want to keep our political prisoners at the forefront of our discussions whenever we're talking about black liberation. All right, that's my program for today. I do need to transition out our YouTube stream so we can get ready for Tando Radio Show. I will be back on air tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, like every Wednesday night. Just because it's my birthday, I'm not taking a day off, because they don't never take a day off. So I'll be on airwaves with Max and Johannin at 8 p.m. on New Abolitionist Radio. Hope that you will join us as we talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking, which was legalized by the 13th Amendment. It wasn't abolished. Slavery wasn't abolished by the 13th. It was legalized by the 13th, and they're exploiting the heck out of it. So recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Not only do you got to worry about slave catchers out there, but you got to worry about these vicious white terrorists just gunning down people for no good reason other than they practice racism. That's the worst kind of ism there is, like Neely Fuller has said. It's racism, because that's mistreating somebody based on a skin color. No one should be mistreated in a system of justice, regardless of their skin color or any of that. So you got that kind of stuff going on, has been going on, but some of us, again, and I'm talking about victims here, just because we're not seeing 100 people hanging from the trees every year, that strange fruit that was so often seen in the South in the 60s, 50s, and prior. Well, guess what? That's what these slave catcher murders represent. Those are lynchings by revolver or whatever weapon they use to kill them. So we have so many things that we should be concerned about, but we should not be fearful of anything. And I, you know, came up, brought up in a Christian spiritual belief, still hold some of those beliefs. And one of the favorite sayings I would hear my mom say is, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power. And that's how I try to operate. I don't live in fear, because I don't fear death. Any threats to my life to shut me up will fall on deaf ears, because I ain't trying to hear that. I'm not concerned. I don't do this to become some kind of a multimillionaire or anything. No, I see a need that our people have, people fighting for liberty and justice have, and I'm using the skills that I learned in part from the United States military, now using it in the freedom struggle, the global freedom struggle against slavery in this country. So when you come to these realizations of the reality that we live in, and not that false perception of reality we've allowed the media to paint for us, when your eyes are open up, so to speak, man, I tell you, man, you just start acting on a whole different level. You just start being more serious and taking things more serious. So I don't want anything to happen to any of you, but we will have casualties. We will have casualties in this war. And so, you know, it's going to take sacrifice because it is not going to end itself. You see, after the Civil War, they betrayed the Union soldiers who were fighting for the cause to end slavery and slipped in that exception clause. Should have known a lawyer like Lincoln would do something like that. So wake up, people. Wake up and get involved. That's all I'm trying to say. And be safe out there behind these enemy lines. Peace and blessings to all.